think your message works great with our Lent message today. It gives us, again, the visual concept of what sin is. Sometimes it's hard to put into words, especially for children, even adults, but good display of understanding what God has done for us through Christ. Thank you very much. This time I'm going to bring us to our scripture today, and we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 66 through actually 75. And we're also going to be reading from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And just want to give you a little background of why we're reading these two scriptures. As we are in the second Sunday of Lent, Lent's always considered a time of giving up or examination. And when we take a look at some of the stories of Christ's crucifixion, I know as a pastor over all these years, I always felt a little frustrated. There was so much material that the Bible gives, so many lessons. And oftentimes what I'm going to be reading, I would do on what we called Monday, Thursday, or Good Friday service. And it was the betrayal of Jesus. And I recognize after many years of the ministry, a lot of people never got to hear the story of Peter and his denial and why he denied Christ, because we concentrate on the Passover. And so what I'm going to be doing here is getting us closer to really that last week of Easter as we know it, or of Christ's betrayal and his death, and we're going to bring it to the forefront. And Peter's story is so large, we are going to deal with what he did and why he did it. And I'm going to just concentrate a little bit later on John chapter 21. It's a short rendition of how God brought Peter back. But what we're going to hear is just this exuberance of Peter, but in his denial of Christ. That's going to be in Matthew. And then in Galatians, we are going to be looking at Paul. Paul is describing in this somewhat kind of difficult, if you don't know the background, reading of Galatians chapter 4. Galatians is written to the new church in Christ. The first audience were Jews that became Christians, and they were still dealing with their past. They lived by the law. And they were saying that the Gentiles had to do all this conformity to the law. And Paul began to tell them, said, no. You have to understand that these Gentile Christians are equal to you because they are heirs, an inheritance of Christ. And then he painted it in a full picture. So that lays the picture today as we begin to study the sin that we all have. What has God done to it? And he is the God of our mess. So we start with the reading from Matthew chapter 26, verse 66. Hear now the word of the Lord. And this concerns the last portion of one of Jesus' mock trials. And so they said, the high priest, what do you think? Is he worthy of death? Referring to Jesus, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you? Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard. And a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you are talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath, I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside, and he wept bitterly. Reading from Galatians chapter 4, beginning verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And so reads God's holy and inspired word. Only Jesus, that name, that allegiance that Peter gave to Jesus suddenly vaporized in a moment where he was scared and confronted by belonging. But it was also a time in his life when there came a separation, just what we saw here this morning in our children's message, of really what Jesus meant to him. And in that time of self-examination, in the middle of the night after the rooster crowed the third time and he realized that he had betrayed Christ, he had denied him three times, just as Christ had predicted, that he remembered. And there was a separation. The things that he had hoped for to be by himself, the legacy, this man who is called Cephas, also the rock, his name Peter, was a man that made a choice. And as he went out into the night, we read in Matthew chapter 26, we recognize that as he went into the night, he did a time of self-examination. And we find he wept bitterly. He realized his life was a mess, his witness was a mess, and it was time to get to know Jesus as Lord and Savior who he had declared. I just want to ask of you, are there times in your life, and maybe you came to church this morning, that there's a mess going on? There's a mess going on. Now, we recognize all of us are sinners. But sometimes some of these messes that we have, what sin, the result of sin has done, it's creeping up in various ways. Maybe the mess is something that you only have had knowledge of and no one else knows. Your spouse doesn't know. Kids don't know, relatives don't know, employers don't know. This is something you keep down deep. And little by little, it starts to gnaw on you and grows and becomes something that you can't seemingly control. In other areas, there are messes that we seem to all know about. Sometimes we call it gossip or whatever. In families, we know what's going on, which child is doing what uncle's where our spouses, where they're at in certain things. Sometimes the messes are financial. Sometimes the messes are where we recognize, you know, I feel like I'm drifting from God. I just don't feel the same. What's going on? We recognize all of this is the result of sin. The God of our mess is still in control. So this morning, how can we recover from the scars that sin has left us with? And still grow in our walk with Christ. How can you come from where we left Peter, denying Christ bitterly, also then going out to the night and weeping bitterly? Is there hope for Peter? There is. Because you see, you have to take a look at who Peter was to begin with. He was this bold, energetic, kind of turbulent kind of guy that Jesus saw this energy. And he declared, Peter, on you, I will build my church. But this man who had that kind of energy also had the same kind of energy and fear of what was going on in his life that he betrayed Christ when he felt, and rightly so, this is when he would have said, he is my Lord. Seems like a discrepancy. Well, it's kind of like our discrepancy sometimes in our lives too. We go to church, we celebrate, we sing these songs, we read the scripture, we come out of those doors and we say, Lord, you're in my life. And we get to our home and then the telephone rings, boss calls, kids, whatever. Things change and it seems like we leave our testimony where? But God knows who we are. And I want to challenge you today, whatever the mess that you've got going on in your life today, God knows it. Whatever sin, hidden sin, public sin, He knows it. And He wants you to bring it back to Him, the whole mess. You know, I thought of the name Peter, and going back to its meaning in both Aramaic and Greek, rock, I thought of, in my day, my wife and I, we would go up to Itasca Park. It's up in Minnesota. It's where the Mississippi starts. I don't know if you've ever been up there, but the thing that you've got to do as a family, usually, I remember our kids, we'd all start on one side, and then you'd walk on those rocks to the other side. And do you know it never failed? No one actually ever got to the other side without falling in. Because those rocks, if you ever walk those rocks, and even if you haven't done the rocks up in Itasca, they're slippery and they're wobbly. And it looks like a path. And so the kids would walk like this and go from one step to another, one rock. And the rock that looked the most solid, that's the one that would flip them. And usually, as they grew older, most of the times, once time or two, you know, the tears would flow. But they'd get a scrape or two, but they started to figure out those rocks. They would anticipate how slippery they were. My friends, going back to Peter, the man who Jesus declared as a rock, we recognize because we are who we are in flesh and we are sinners, Jesus knew, even though we have been called by Him by name and we are His heirs, that we need Him daily on every basis, and He is going to get us through those slippery spots in those messes that we have. How can we come back from our denials of Him and still feel worthy of His love? This is the crux of the scripture here this morning. How can you go through this and still feel, I've got a witness to anybody? I look like a hypocrite. Can they see what I'm thinking? Can they feel? The ones that have known what has happened in my life, do I have a testimony? Do I have a witness? And yes, and yes, and yes. Because the reason we are all here today, those who are listening here today, whatever is going on in your life, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, it is because of Christ's death and His resurrection for you that we can go on in life and we can be abundant, we can be powerful in our witness, even in our biggest messes, even when we feel the most weak. You know, it's interesting how these things come about to you. I have an example of one mess here. I get several small-town newspapers. I know everything's on Facebook right now and whatnot, but I still enjoy small-town newspapers. And this week I picked one up, and there's something called Personal in the Personals, Personal Message. And this struck me. In fact, I circled it, brought it along because I wanted to read exactly what was wrote. It says, Personal Message. Julie, whatever I said, whatever I didn't mean it. I want you back. I'm sorry. From Richard. I don't know what Richard did, but I think he's in a mess. So he's trying to reach out the old school way. So, a little other comparison I have of a mess and how to try to get back. This happened in my own life here about a month ago. I have a cell phone, and I'm not real still adapt at a cell phone after 15 years. I had a flip phone until they had to pry it out of my hand, and nothing worked. And so I went to one of these iPhones. We do not get along together. In our move, we had to Laverne from Sully, Iowa. We had to change providers for the network. And in so doing, we went to a Gmail account from our other account that we had in the server. And, you know, you're supposed to delete all of those emails that come. And one day my wife looked at my phone and she goes, Wait, I wonder your phone is so slow. You've got 3,000 emails on here. I said, I know. I hate it. What a waste of time. You know, everyone. I tried to figure out everyone. So one night, I was watching a little TV, and maybe it was boring, whatever, and I decided, okay, this is it. I'm going to do this during commercials. So I begin to delete. I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm in the settings, that kind of thing. And I begin deleting, and what I found something that I had never found before. It was a delete all. Usually I hit it, and nothing happens. I hit that about 3 or 4 times, and wow, they all disappeared. I said, well, this is great. So thought I'd accomplished something that night. Then I went to go to our main computer in our house. And I was getting ready to do taxes. So I always had my files and all that. And I hit my files. Nothing. I wonder what's going on. Well, I know my wife does some shopping networks, that kind of thing. And I just thought, well, I'm going to creep over there. Take a look at that. Nothing. I began to look at our personal computer. And whatever I did, I wiped out everything. Do you know what? I felt like a little kid of 7 years old where I had been caught in a cookie jar or something worse, and I didn't want to have my folks know about it. How am I going to tell my wife this? I had this fear that's going up and down me. Oh, my goodness. So I went back to my lazy boy, sat there and hit archive and all whatever buttons. I couldn't retrieve anything. I went to my main computer, could not retrieve anything. Called a buddy that knew a lot about computers. He said, oh, Wayne. Yeah. I had wiped everything out. The god of my mess. I had to tell my wife I had completely wiped out everything she'd had on there and saved. I'd wiped out our Christmas files, the Christmas letters, my taxes for I don't know how many years. I don't know why my phone had them on, but I did. But I started over, literally blank slate. The biggest part of that, of being in that mess, was actually truly confessing to my wife what I had done, not knowing it wasn't intentional. Isn't that something about some of the messes we wind up in? They're really not intentional. Not at least starting out. We don't intend to it. As a pastor, when I've counseled young couples ready to get married, I've done close to maybe 400. I've never had someone come to me and say, Pastor, we're here because in 6 months to a year, we plan on getting a divorce. Nobody's ever told me that. Or in a year, I'm going to say, I don't love my spouse anymore, but we're just going to, you know, live together for, you know, maybe 2 years, and that's what's going to happen. No. I've tried to think, where do these unintentional messes come from? What gets planted in our hearts? The things that we get to. You know, and you can apply that to everything in life. It starts with sin. God knows who we are, even on our unintentional messes. Again, I am here to share with you, there is hope, there is life after our messes. You know, all those things that I lost, I guess I didn't need them. I started brand new. I kind of think I know what I'm not doing now and what I am doing. And to give it over to brighter, smarter people. And to always make hard copies. We learn. And so here I'm just going to briefly bring you through. What do we learn? We learn through Peter's situation, spiritual breathing. When you blow it, and when you have blown it, confess your sin, blow it out to God. And in your notes, if you're keeping notes, you have the notes. I have written, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but there are text verse that will lead you through this. And if you want to stick this on your refrigerator, or sometimes I put it in my visor in my car later on, if you got time in the mall, wherever you're at, go through these and open your Bible and see what God's saying to you. But spiritual breathing, when you have blown it, confess your sin, blow it out to God. 2 Samuel 13:13, what it refers to, again, is what David was doing in his life as a great king. He committed adultery. He had an affair. He lost a child through it, but God still continued to give him his kingdom. There were scars. But in so doing, he still said, God said, this is still a man of my heart. David knew when to confess his sins. And so we say, what is the next step? Receive forgiveness. Breathe in God's love. the reason Christ died for us, we need to be reminded of this again and again, is it because he loved you. He loved you. He loved me. He loved this world that God had created and said, this is good. Receive that forgiveness so you can begin again in the Lord of your mess. Clean house. Do not let your sin stockpile garbage. Get it out. And I'm just going to stop there for a moment. In that little illustration of deleting emails, I would say 95% of them were garbage. You know, the spam. I was tired of them. Get out of here, spam. Delete, delete, delete. In the midst of that, I lost some treasured things, some things that I needed. In your life right now, the Casting Crowns song, it talked about, you know, what kind of legacy we're going to leave. What are you living for your children? What are you doing for your church? What are you doing for your God? What are you working so hard at right now that's demanding everything? And we work so hard for. You know, we're in an area that enjoys graduations. Coming, you know, May, you get invited to graduation. We have pulled pork and we enjoy family and friends. Everybody comes on over. And I've been to a lot of graduations over the years. Most unusual graduations I ever went to was a few years before I left Morris. A young man who was very, very good in cross country, won all kinds of medals, stood at the door, greeted everybody as we put our little card in the basket, went into the food, and he said, here, there's a basket, here's all my medals. And we said, what do you mean? He said, all, and I looked at him, they were first and second place medals and whatnot. He said, here, take one, do whatever you want with it, maybe you can remember me, but so I'm giving those away. What I don't give away at the door, I'm dumping. I had never, ever seen that before. Never heard of it. I said to the young man, I said, but why are you doing this? He says, you work so hard for this. He said, that's the past. He said, I'm working on other things now. I never forgot it. I took about three or four medals, and I put them up in my garage by my work bench. And when I saw those medals, I prayed for them. And I prayed for others. But it always reminded me, what am I working for? Sometimes we can spend all of our time in an endeavor, preparing for an education, athletics, you name it, just fit in what you're working for, and it can be gone in an instant. Take it away, sprain your knee, it's gone, scholarship's gone, the things that we work for, stock market's gone, make a back investment, hog market goes sideways, cattle market does whatever it does, work all your life for a certain kind of car, one accident, boom, it's gone. Think about all the things that so easily are gone. Really, they clutter our life. And when we have a mess, they begin interfering. Clean house. Don't let your sins stockpile garbage. Get it out and let Jesus clean you up. I know that sounds so simple, but it is. Take a look at what's holding you back from him today. Secondly, what can cause a relapse from your journey in sin? Peter was an interesting guy. Do you remember that when Jesus was being betrayed in the garden, he whipped out his sword and he cut off an ear? That's how involved this guy was. He was going to fight for the death for Jesus. A couple hours later, he's denying him. This is Peter. We can relapse in our journey of sin. We can revert. We go back to our own willpower. That Peter went back to what he knew. If I can't change it this way, I'm going to get my sword out and I'm going to change it this way. Galatians says this, what are you trying to become? Are you trying to become perfect by your own human effort? We pray and we pray and we don't think it bears any results. And so, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to raise this crop. I'm going to raise these kids. I'm going to do this in my marriage. Or I'm going to taste all these pleasures that it seems the world is saying, enjoy. Our joy comes from knowing the Lord, but there are things that we like to experiment before we get to that at times. And so what we ignore the steps of healing. Galatians chapter 5:7 says this, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? One sport I love to do, I love to be in track when I was in high school. And one thing that I love to do is run medley relays. But what I noticed, and what I was always very careful, maybe sometimes too careful because I didn't get all the speed up, but I noticed how at times, and I witnessed this, and you who have ever witnessed a track meet, you'll know what happens if someone cuts in on you. It will cause you sometimes to slow down, fall, hit the heel of the other guy, guy in back, if you will, hit you, and sometimes a mess occurs. Sometimes on Olympic trials, when I lived down by Des Moines, they would have them there, and there was a few runners that were known to be some of the best in the United States. And I remember this one gal that was really good, and she was just about ready to qualify, and she was coming in with a couple of feet left, and somebody cut her off, and she tripped and fell into that track. She lost her position. She did not get on the Olympic team. My friends, that's what happens to us. Sometimes we ignore these steps of healing what God has before us, and we get tripped up, and we try to recover ourselves. If God says, I am the Lord of this mess. Come back to me. And so we make the mistakes in that journey at times, though, trying to recover without support. We say, I don't need anybody else's help. I don't need God's help. I don't need someone who cares for me from the church's help. I can do it myself. Hebrews 10:25 said, let's not give up the habit of meeting together. We're together here today because we want to be, because we're not going to give up that habit of worship. Even through COVID, we're going to worship. We're going to worship online. We're going to worship here. We're going to worship because it keeps us in touch with the Lord. So how do you move beyond your mess this morning? First of all, I want you to claim your inheritance. That's what Galatians in chapter 4 that we read, the last verse, verse 7, talked about. After all of this, don't let somebody tell you you're not a son or daughter of the Lord. So you are no longer a slave. You have these full rights. And since you are that son and that daughter of the Lord, God has made you an heir. You have full entitlement. Back then, if you lived in that area, the Roman law decrees even if you are a slave and you've been adopted to that household, you have full rights as a biological son or daughter. The people that Paul was talking to understood this. And so now do we understand this? We have this ability to be an heir of our God. So claim your inheritance. And then secondly, admit our sin. Confession doesn't get a lot of published time in churches sometimes anymore. It's seen kind of full of the law. It's not. It's full of grace. Confess our sins. You go to the Lord. We have this mediator. It's called Christ. He is our high priest. He died for you and me. He died for Peter. He died for the Lord of your big messes and your little. Admit our sin and then accept our responsibility. That's what Peter finally had to do. As we kind of close this message, I'm going to just give you an insight into what we didn't read, but we see in Scripture, and I hope you can do the same. But John chapter 21, I think starting verse 15, it is where, after the resurrection, Christ prepared a meal on the shore. And his disciples were fishing. I could just see them. They were sitting there before that. And they said, what are we going to do? I don't know. One of the guys goes, let's go fishing. I said, okay, we're fishermen. We're going to go. So they're about 100 yards off shore. Picture this. That's about the size of a football field. They can't quite see who's way on the other end, but the voice calls out, and this is Jesus, have you any fish? And they go, no, been fishing all night, nothing. Jesus says, put your net on the right side. They don't know it's Jesus yet. And they do. And suddenly the Bible said 153 large fish were in the net. They had so much, they didn't know what to do. And then John, we believe the beloved disciple, recognizes Jesus and calls out to him. Peter hears his name and he jumps out of the boat. Here's this energetic guy again, dives over out the boat, goes for Jesus. And Jesus then begins to do this narrative. He says to him, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Then he says the third time, feed my sheep. And every time Jesus did it, he did it in a caring, loving way to Peter to bring him back. And Peter was hurt. Peter goes, "You know I love you, Jesus." And he says this to him, invites him. And he invites him then to be the rock that he is, to lead his church. So as we move beyond our messes, ask for that forgiveness. Admit that we have sinned and claim our reward. God wants you to be the witness of hope in Christ in the midst of your brokenness. And that's hard. If you this morning are going through brokenness, you feel like there's no hope, there is. He wants you to be that witness in the midst of your brokenness for him. You have a witness that's valid. We are a people that have been broken, hurt, left behind. That's who Jesus loves. Because we have a witness. Over the years, as a pastor, I've witnessed those who have been sometimes most broken, and we have little communities, and we seem to know everybody's business. But the ones that would come to the Lord and understand this grace and this gift, I found what they would do. They would bring their families. They'd bring their friends. And usually about 5 to 10 people would come from that one witness of that broken person. And the church eventually multiplies by the brokenness that has been now breathed into hope. My friends, personally, who you are, what you're going through, this church, you have a witness in this community like you wouldn't believe. You have a witness in your homes, in your schools, through your brokenness. You have a witness as a church in Inwood and beyond. And it all begins by recognizing that God is the Lord of your brokenness, the Lord of your mess. God wants you to be a witness of hope in the Christ in the midst of your brokenness, in the cross, because in it Jesus was nailed to the cross. And I put this down and underlined it. So you can stop nailing yourself to the cross. He was nailed to the cross for you. Christ forgave you. So as we close today, you see we are freed from our past sins. We are freed from our secret sins. And if you have a mess in your life, the good news is this, is that you matter to Jesus. He has the power to help you. And the question is this today. Will you allow him to be the Lord of your mess? Will you allow him to be the Lord of your mess, whatever it is? Today, may you have reheard or heard for the first time this message of hope and love and forgiveness and care. Go and be a people of God.